What did I miss, Connie? Mm-hmm. But I said I was going to do that after the sermon. So, yeah, I moved it. Thank you for that reminder. I did forget to lead you in the Lord's Prayer, didn't I? See how one little thing can throw you off your whole morning? And boy, do we need to pray that prayer. I had a man object to praying it every Sunday once. Long ago, he said, we know it. Why do we need to pray it so much? And I said, well, several reasons. One is that if we don't pray it frequently, we might forget it. But the more important reason is Jesus told us to use this prayer. He gave it to us specially. So let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today's scripture In today's scripture, Jesus asks the question, has none given thanks? And in other translations, the question is, has no one given thanks? This passage is frequently titled, 10 Healed of Leprosy. It's found in the book of Luke, the 17th chapter. Right after a passage titled, Sin, Faith, and Duty. And usually when things are in close proximity to one another in the Bible, they're sort of spillover from one to the next. And in this passage on those who were healed of leprosy, there is an implied message that it is our duty and it is an expression of faith to be grateful. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleaned. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is God's word for us today as well. One of the things that Letha did beautifully 2 weeks ago in her sermon is she used the story of her parents' lives to illustrate a Bible passage. Today, I want to tell you the story of Mildred and Oliver Masuka, because their lives perfectly illustrate this biblical passage, especially the question that Jesus asked, "Has no one given thanks except this foreigner?" About 12 years ago, one blustery, snowy, windy January day, this man showed up in our church in Boardman. He was shorter than I am, not by much, but just a little bit. He was snow-crusted from head to foot. He was shivering, and he had just walked 4.5 miles in the snow and wind to worship God. Oliver Masuka had recently arrived in Youngstown, Ohio, Boardman specifically, from Zimbabwe as a political refugee. He was a school principal, and the reason that he and his wife Mildred came from Zimbabwe to Youngstown is that back in the late 60s or early 70s, he had been an adjunct professor at Youngstown State University teaching African studies, and one of their daughters had been born in this country. And she had come here to do nurses training and stayed, and another of their daughters followed her. And as Oliver became more and more outspoken against the political regime in Zimbabwe, and particularly as he became more outspoken against Mugabe, Mildred became more and more worried that Oliver would speak up once too often and she would never see him again. So they decided to move here. And that Sunday morning, Oliver went looking for the church of his childhood, youth, and adulthood, the United Methodist Church. And as I said, he walked 4.5 miles down a bustling retail area that's very similar to Lexington Spring Mill, and where much of it had no sidewalks, but a whole lot of slush and mess to wade through. And the people of the church immediately wanted to take care of him, much as our folks did when everybody jumped up to go find a cough drop or a peppermint lozenge. And so there were people getting coffee for him and towels to help him dry off because he was so very wet. This community, Boardman, the median income is something like $90,000 per family. And I'm pretty sure that none of the folks in the church had ever walked to church in their lives, except maybe when they were children. So this was a foreign concept for them, and the word spread fast through the congregation that there was a newcomer who was so dedicated to God that he would make the journey on foot. Among other things, what Oliver wanted to do was scope out a church so that he could bring Mildred regularly to church. But he really didn't want her to make that journey that day through the snow. But he felt a compelling need to worship God and to give thanks to God for their safe arrival in church. Well, to my vast surprise, this couple, each of whom I had frequently heard make racist remarks and jokes were the very people who volunteered to take Oliver home that day. They didn't seem to see the color of his skin in their interest in getting him home. So the first miracle of the Masukas, as I came to regard them, was his impact on this couple who drove him home that day. And they saw, in conversing with him, that he was a very humble, unique man of God. And they learned and spread the word quickly through the congregation that this guy who had been a school principal was now a janitor at the mall. And they felt badly for him. His wife had become the cleanup lady at the local Taco Bell. And that's how they were keeping body and soul together in a small apartment that they shared with both daughters. One bedroom apartment. They didn't have much to be thankful for as far as the rest of the people in the church were concerned. But the very next week, they had joined the choir because they wanted to sing their praises to God. Neither one of them could carry a tune very well, but they were welcome members of the choir, and guess who drove them to choir practice on Wednesday nights? That very same couple who had surprised me by taking Oliver home the first day. And as they sat among the choir, the second miracle of the Masukas occurred because people who often grumbled about rehearsals that were too long and things of that sort discovered in the Masukas' very delight in being able to sing praises to God, and they could do it in two languages, that maybe long choir rehearsals were actually a chance to bond together and form a kind of family. Then there was the third miracle of the Masukas. We invited them for Easter dinner, and it was our privilege twice a year in that church, a very wealthy church, to give gifts to the neediest in the congregation on behalf of the church. And so at the end of our meal, we had a chance to hand them an envelope that had a check in it from the congregation. And when they opened it, they were shocked and delighted and surprised to find a check for several hundred dollars. And they immediately got down on their knees, and I was terrified that they were bowing to us, and grabbed them and pulled them up, and they said, no, this is what we have to do to give thanks to God. Well, this couple, who were working as janitors and had come from so far away, were in their mid to late 60s, and I can't imagine that getting down on their knees was any easier for them than it is for me now. But they did that, and then they did a surprising thing. They clapped their hands. And in Zimbabwe, that's a gesture of thanksgiving. I learned later on, as I gave them communion once a month, that they would always clap their hands before they received communion. That's saying thank you to God. It was always three times, too. I don't know why three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know. And that's, they would say thank you to God by kneeling, clapping three times, and opening their hands ready to receive or give. That was another miracle of the Masukas, as they touched my heart, because I never knelt to say thank you to God. I frequently knelt to pray, but not specifically to say thank you. Another miracle of the Masukas was that they asked why there was no offering plate in the choir, because they couldn't put their offering in. And it had never occurred to anybody that there should be offering from the choir. People kind of thought that the choir should be exempt from offering because they were giving their service to God. Don't get any ideas, Larry. I see you grinning back there. That was, every church has its own culture, and that was the part of the culture in that church. They had paid soloists, too. Well, when the Masukas suggested that there should be an offering plate, people started noticing how much money they put in the offering plate, because every Sunday, Oliver would put in a 20. And somebody came up to me and said, "Do you know how much he gives?" And I said, "No, it's none of my business." "He puts a 20 in every Sunday. That's 3 hours of his work week. 3 hours of his pay." And I said, "Well, after taxes, it might be 10. He's tithing." And that person said to me, "Well, isn't a tithe just what you promised to the church?" And I said, "Tithe means 10. 10%. That's what God has asked us for." "No, really?" "Yeah, really." I found out later he was giving half his tithe to the church where he was worshiping and saving half that they sent to Zimbabwe several times a year when a trusted friend was going and would take the money because they couldn't trust it to the mail. They were building a church in their hometown with their small tithe from minimum wage jobs. The last miracle of the Masukas I'm going to tell you about is that when our United Methodist women discovered that the Masukas were building a church in Zimbabwe, this group of women who had done fundraising to the tune of $30,000 to $40,000 every year for local missions, because they didn't believe in anything international, started fundraising to help them build their church. And they completed it while we were serving there. The Masukas didn't work miracles. When I referred to the miracle of the Masukas, the miracle was that God gave them to us, and to us here, as an example of faithful living. Is there no one to give thanks other than this foreigner? Jesus asked. But the story doesn't end with the one leper who came back to give thanks. The story goes on with this foreigner, this foreign leper, perhaps becoming the same kind of example to the people that the Masukas became for us. Perhaps it's easier to see faithfulness when it wears a foreign face and speaks with an accented voice and seems so very different and claps and kneels in this charming fashion. Perhaps it's easier because they weren't the only faithful people in Boardman United Methodist Church. There were dozens and dozens, just as there are here. And the evidence of your faithfulness is before you today in the sheet that's included here called the Budget of Ministries. I just thought it would be interesting to let you know before you make your commitments for next year what your offerings this year have done, what they've accomplished, what your faithfulness has done, because you don't give to a church. You give to God and to God's work through the church. If you're giving to a church, well, that's all right, but it's not the best you can do. The best you can do is to be grateful to God for all that's been trusted into your care and to want to return a portion of it to God, not even because the Bible told you to, but because it's a joyful privilege. So here's what you've accomplished. And these are guesstimates, estimates that are my best guesses. But we provide Sunday childcare to the tune of 104 hours. When we multiply the number of hours of Kingdom Kids times the number of kids, it's probably a whole lot more than 160. I have no idea where I got that number. Vacation Bible School the same way. The number of hours, which is about, I counted 15 because there's prep time and kids are around for about 3 hours, times the number of children served, times the number of days. Cub Scouts are here. About 640 hours a year. Special event ministries would include things like our trunk or treat and extravaganza and other outreach events that help to bring kids into this church, hoping that if we touch them enough times, perhaps they'll stick around and bring their parents. Choir, the number of you times the number of hours you rehearse and the number of hours that you sing for us looks like a massive number, 1,750. And if you read through the rest of them, there are a whole lot of things that are missing from here, and somebody's going to tell me what they are, and I'll be able to add to them for next year. But my conclusions when I look at this are that thousands of people were fed, clothed, or housed thanks to the generosity of Ontario United Methodist Church. Thousands of hours of service were given by our members to the church, the community, and the world. Thousands of hours of volunteer time were donated by members of this church to its ministries. More than 1,280 hours of time were spent by the people of this congregation in study of God's word. And that's just the study that's done in public, not what you do at home. My conclusion is we're not just a busy place and a busy people, but we reflect God's love for the world. And you do it without ever having had the masukas in your lives. Is there none but this foreigner to give thanks to God? No. Each and every one of you gives thanks to God. Amen. we're going to give you an opportunity now to thank God by turning in your commitment for next year. And I invite those of you who are able to bring them forward while we sing. While we sing, Come Ye Thankful People, Come.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, who has provided our every need, who has blessed us in so many ways, accept the commitment now that we make of our lives, our means, and our opportunities as represented by these cards. Bless all who have given, for the ability to give, and be with all of us that we might be found faithful. In the name of Christ, amen. And now may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.